Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. It is always good to have you on board with us. I thank the Lord for all of you that take some time to let me know that you're listening each week. This week's shout out goes to Mark Bradshaw. Mark's always a faithful listener and lets me know that he heard me this week and appreciated the message. So, Mark, thank you so much. Again, my name's Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station, and our Sunday mornings begin with our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock. Love to have you come out and join us. You'll be greeted warmly at the door, and our morning service consists of some singing, praying together, and then we have the preaching of the Word, and we'd love to have you come and join us. If you are unable to attend today, but in person's always best, but if you're unable to attend, we are streaming on Facebook, so you can check us out there, and the streaming starts right around 10:45. We normally have our evening worship service that starts at 6 o'clock, but this afternoon we're having our monthly church picnic right here on the church grounds in the pavilion. We'd love to have you come out. If you're in the area, come on out. We've got hamburgers, hot dogs, all kinds of other food, you know, the potluck kind of thing. So come out and join us. And that starts at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here at the church. Tuesday evening, we'll be having Bible study at 6:30. We are wrapping up our study in the book of James. We've been there for months now, and we are into the fifth chapter, and we're starting to close it up. We also stream that on live on Facebook as well, in person at 6:30, and we start streaming right around 6:35. We take a few minutes to pray together, and then we go ahead and start the lesson. Also, we got Vacation Bible School coming up. That's going to be the 23rd through the 27th, right here at the church. We've got the theme this year is Stellar. And that light, God's light shines, and we're looking forward to that. Got a nice program put together for the kids. So again, that's July 23rd through the 27th, and it starts at 6 o'clock each evening and runs to 8, and that's a Sunday through a Thursday. Also, we've got a benefit concert on the 28th. The 28th, that's off Friday at 6 o'clock for Jenna Drewer. Jenna Drewer has had cancer, and she's gone through a lot of different surgeries and treatments. We're so thankful she's doing as good as she is, and things are better. But we're having a benefit concert because those things are expensive, and we're just looking to have a lot of different singers from many different churches coming out. And again, that's going to be on the 28th of this month at 6 o'clock. And lastly, I don't want to forget that we have our brand new website that's up and running. I want you to check that out. That's cfbc413.org. cfbc413.org. So right now, I've got a song I'm going to play, and while it's playing, you can grab your Bibles, but I've got a special guest with us this morning. I'm going to do some talking and just a little picking his brain somewhat. my son Luke Willings in from Phoenix, Arizona, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in Phoenix, the seminary he's attending, and some other different things as far as the church life. So listen to the song, and we'll be back just in a few moments.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ, the sure and great fulfillment of the law, the Lord upon the tree, in the stead of ruined sinners, hangs a lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life, but no grave could ever restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive. And what a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
And that was my son and daughter, Luke Willing and Kayla Willing, singing Behold the Wondrous Mystery. And that was about 3 years ago. That was back in March of 2020. How about that? But I've got my son here with me today. Luke and his wife, Lucy, had come in from Arizona for a few days. Luke's going to be preaching for me this morning, and looking forward to that. We've got a good lineup in our service today. Pam and Brian Richardson are going to be doing music for us. Luke's going to be preaching, so I'm looking forward to a wonderful service this day. Luke, it's good to have you here from Arizona. We've had a good time. Went to the beach on Thursday and hung out there, and it was a good day on Friday and chilling on Saturday, and now here we are Sunday morning ready to have at it. Mm-hmm. And on church. So how's everything in Arizona?
Things in Arizona are good. It's hot there right now, so it's really nice to come to the Maryland side and get a breather from the sun. But as long as you stay in the air conditioning, you're doing all right over there. So it's been great to be in Maryland.
Yeah, good. Because I know a lot of our folks, it's been on the news about how hot it is, 115 degrees mm-hmm. out there in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but ironically, I've come here to Maryland, and I've really never gotten that sunburnt in Phoenix. But the first day at the beach, I am pretty much as red as a tomato. So
yeah,
I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, that was a surprise to come all the way from Phoenix to back to Maryland's eastern shore and get sunburnt. That's probably the first ever in history, I would imagine. But you are studying at Phoenix Seminary. You graduated from Lancaster Bible College up in Pennsylvania, and you met Lucy, mm-hmm. and you were married during COVID,
mm-hmm.
and then you had it was just the Lord working some things out for you guys because you were looking to go into mission field,
mm-hmm.
and as the Lord opened some doors, closed some doors, and you just found out that was not the place. But then this opened up.
Mm-hmm.
So just give us a little insight on Phoenix Seminary, what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time that I heard about Phoenix Seminary was during a kind of a confusing time for Lucy and I. We had been thinking about partnering with Wycliffe Bible Translators, which is an excellent organization. And there were some things that went on that the Lord made very clear that that was not going to be his call for us, just some medical issues and issues for figuring out where to go, that it was very apparent that he had shut that door. But at the same time, the Lord had been using us in local church ministry in Pennsylvania, and we had been absolutely loving it. And so while the Lord was shutting one door, he was very clearly showing us that his local church here in the States needs support, needs servants, needs resources, and that we would be a part of doing that. So we started looking at seminaries, and our pastor was encouraging us in Pennsylvania to start looking. So we looked at a couple, but I heard about Phoenix Seminary because that summer I had actually been reading a book that a couple professors from Phoenix Seminary had edited and contributed to. It was called Myths and Mistakes in New Testament Textual Criticism. Because at Phoenix Seminary, there is what they call the Text and Canon Institute,
mm-hmm.
which is a conservative evangelical research institute where they publish research on the topic of Old and New Testament textual criticism, which was a field that I was interested in because I was very interested in the languages. We were thinking about doing Bible translation, so I've always
right.
loved the biblical languages. And so I had ended up reading a book by them. So I didn't know that both Dr. Gurry and Dr. Mead taught at Phoenix Seminary, but I just started looking through this book and seeing where these different people went to seminary to try to get an idea of maybe where to go. And then I just discovered that there was an immense amount of conservative, evangelical, biblical, and upstanding faculty at Phoenix Seminary. They
right.
have Dr. Peter Gurry and Dr. Mead, who are both top-of-the-line scholars in the Old and New Testament critical fields. And then as well, we also have Dr. Wayne Grudem, who has taught systematic theology for years and is probably one of the defining voices of systematic theology for evangelicals, especially in North America. And then in addition to that, we also have Dr. Doobie, who has published award-winning books and evangelical conferences for one of his books is called The God of Classical Theism and
mm-hmm.
the Incarnation. And so that's a really important book. Or it's called, Jesus and the God of Classical Theism is what it's called.
Right.
And so after a while, Lucy and I just discovered, like, there is just a tremendous faculty here. And if we want to learn the Bible, this would be the place to go.
Got you. Good stuff. And because right now you are your degree that you are pursuing is the Master's of Divinity,
mm-hmm.
an MDiv.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you give us a little insight as far as the classes on that and what's that looking like?
So the Master's of Divinity has around 92 credits. That's not for every institution, but usually is a lot of credits because it's a longer degree, because just like welders and mechanics and businessmen and so on and so forth should have a very thorough training in what they do, we feel the same way about pastors and teachers, is
right.
that they should have a very thorough training for a lifetime of ministry. And so part of what that degree includes is Bible surveys, so going through the books of the Old and New Testament just from a biblical, historical, theological perspective, but
right.
also studying the actual biblical languages. So if you're at Phoenix Seminary, you're getting an MDiv, you will go through at least two semesters of Greek and two semesters of Hebrew if you're in the MDiv program. And then there's also theology classes. So you're going through the basic theological subjects of anthropology, Christology, pneumatology. These are all studies of man and God and Jesus and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we like to start with those core classes, that biblical theological foundation. And then you step into more of the, you know, quote unquote, practical parts of pastoral ministry,
right.
Like pastoral counseling, pastoral leadership, pastoral preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a little bit about the curriculum that is at Phoenix Seminary.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. And Lucy, she's also pursuing her degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lucy's also getting an MDiv along with me. And so it's kind of fun that we get to do that together. During our first year at Phoenix Seminary, we both had Greek together, and so that was really fun to just read the Bible in its original language together. We had a really great time doing that. And Lucy's MDiv will get to focus a little bit more on counseling-related things. So she,
right.
her heart is really big for just marriages in church and also psychological problems in church and how people can get resources and help for that. And so Lucy's heart is to reach those people where they are. And luckily, there are really great counseling classes at Phoenix Seminary that she can take.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, and you've been out there a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with a job at the seminary.
Yeah, I have been blessed enough to start working at Phoenix Seminary. One of the positions they have there is called a student services advisor. And basically, I'm an advisor for all of the Masters of Divinity students, Masters of Theology, and Doctorate of Ministry students. And basically, my role there is just, if any students have questions about their scholarship or their coursework or what classes to take next or how to register for it, I'm kind of their point of contact for doing that. And it's been really great. The student body at Phoenix Seminary is amazing, and it's been, like, such a pleasure to get to know them.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. So you mentioned a few books that you had we see some of the professors there, and you named a couple, I believe. What's some books on your reading list here lately? What have you been reading?
Well, we took the summer off, so my reading definitely slowed down, but still, it's always good to be reading. I think something that I just recently read was St. Basil of Caesarea's On the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I read that is just because part of the curriculum at Phoenix Seminary is taking church history courses, and I felt like there was always a very exaggerated schism between what I believe now as a modern evangelical in the 21st century and what the early church believed in the first century.
Right.
And there's definitely things that are different, but the more I read them in their own words, I feel like some of those things are exaggerated. I think that the people who I read in the first century were genuine believers like I did, who believe in the crucified and risen Christ. And it's fascinating to read books like On the Holy Spirit, because that's a very early account of them for the first time working out a robust theology of what to think about the Holy Spirit, what to think about the third person of the Trinity.
Right.
So I'm kind of continuing with that theme. So one of my next books I want to read is On the Incarnation by St. Athanasius. So
yeah.
Part of my reading list has just been trying to connect with our early church foundations.
Right. Yeah, and what I was thinking as you're saying that, those books just weren't written yesterday,
no.
For sure. When you talk about the early church fathers, and certainly it's just a depth, just a wealth of information that you can supplement that of your biblical reading and just see where these guys were coming from. And as you said, they were trying to work. The church was in its infancy. They were trying to work out the theology.
Mm-hmm.
We talk when we go back to the Bible and we talk about like the Jerusalem Council, what the church was going to do with all these Gentiles that were being saved,
mm-hmm.
and what they felt was going to be required of them, and mm-hmm. And we know we've had councils throughout the church age, and really trying to solidify like you said, a good robust theology, and to defend that, because apologetics mm-hmm. is a part of your studies too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the apologetics. You want to just hit on that just a little bit when you talk about apologetics?
Because
some people think about apologetics because of the word apology, that kind of idea. But we know that that's just not the mm-hmm. case whatsoever.
Yeah, it also is a defense. And even in the line of what we've been talking about, the early church, is that some of the earliest writers in the early church were apologists. I mean, you take someone like Justin Martyr, for example,
mm-hmm.
And oftentimes these early apologists were representing Christ not only to just the common man, but so often to those in leadership of
right.
their nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oftentimes these works that they would write were dedicated to or written to the emperor of the land at the time. And basically, you know, they would give arguments in defense of the faith. But I feel like one of the most common ones you'd also see too is, we as Christians are good citizens. We are not here to overthrow a government. We are not here to
right.
do anything crazy. We are good moral people who are trying to live lives worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. And we ask and we pray that you would cease persecution. And that was sometimes just the humble, simple call of early Christians, was just a genuine and defense of the faith that was filled with Christian character.
Right.
And so just like the early church had a heart for that, so all the way up to the 21st century, at a place like Phoenix Seminary, you also get courses to say, how can I defend my faith, and how can I do that with a good Christian witness?
Yeah, to speak the truth in love. That
mm-hmm.
that was what we're exhorted to do.
Mm.
One thing, because we were talking a few evenings ago about around a dinner table, when we said something about apologetics, but we also said something about hermeneutics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those big theological
mm-hmm.
terms. And what describe for us the difference between when you talk about apologetics and then mm-hmm. hermeneutics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe hermeneutics and apologetics, well, they're both big words,
mm-hmm.
But maybe one of the ways we can set them apart is giving them their own definition. So apologetics is usually a defense of the faith. So if you're thinking of a defense of the faith, usually you have a little bit of a different audience. You're probably talking about, how do I make a statement of faith to somebody who doesn't believe the same things as I do? So how can I actually give them a persuasive account
mm-hmm.
of what I believe?
Good.
Hermeneutics is a word that basically just means Bible interpretation. What is a method of interpreting the Bible? And that might seem kind of like a very ivory tower thing to think about, but on the ground, it has real-time consequences to ask the question, how do I interpret the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, when I come to a passage like Philippians 4:13,
sure,
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does Paul mean when he says, I can do all things?
Right.
Maybe he does mean just literally all things, meaning, you know, If I want to walk up to the bench press and go ahead and max out on a good 350, Christ will literally give me the strength and power to do that. Well, you know, I'm a little bit uncertain that that's what Paul means.
I would agree.
That when he's writing to the local church there, does he mean that I can do all things through Christ, meaning I can go ahead and bench 350 even though I only weigh, you know, 80 pounds and I'm like in middle school? Probably not.
Probably not. Pretty sure.
But one of the things that hermeneutics teaches you, and this is just one detail, but one of the things that hermeneutics, taking a class on hermeneutics, teaches you is that context is important.
Context. That's one thing that my mantra has been. Context in interpretation of mm-hmm. Scripture is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Context, context, mm-hmm. context.
And context is basically just asking, what else has he said that needs to come to bear on what he's saying now? And if I were to go to Philippians 4, I would see that Paul, the context of what he's talking about is, I have been going through extremely difficult circumstances, and it is mm-hmm. hard to stay faithful under those difficult circumstances. However, it is Christ who strengthens me. So the scope of when he says all things, I think he's talking about all the things related to staying faithful during my suffering.
Right.
And so if that is what he means, then he's saying, yes, it's hard to be a Christian. Yes, I've had little and I've had much. But as long as it is Christ who strengthens me, I can do everything related to this.
Very
good. So that's just a little snapshot. I mean, there's plenty of other things that hermeneutics teaches you. I mean, you don't just look at the context of the writer, but you also look at the historical context mm-hmm. and the theological context. But hermeneutics is a great fundamental class that every believer should have access to. And I would also note that, you know, Phoenix Seminary has just recently launched a online MDiv. And you would never have to take the whole thing if you don't want to, but you can always just take one class. These are high quality, classes that are recorded in our own studio. And if anybody would ever be interested in, taking a course at Phoenix Seminary, I would highly recommend taking something like hermeneutics.
Right. And just let everybody know, Luke's not out here getting paid, by Phoenix Seminary to, throw out the advertisement for him, but
yeah.
You can just tell it's a big part of his heart. Mm-hmm. Look, we've only got like a few minutes left here, but I did want to kind of close on, maybe what some of your thoughts were on what you see kind of trending in Christianity, maybe some of the influences, mm-hmm. Maybe just some closing thoughts about what you're seeing, mm-hmm. you know, in the world today and how that's how the church, maybe it impacts it, but how the church responds. Mm-hmm. Got any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the trends, and I think this is a positive trend, is a trend of theological retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
I think we live in a very confusing time, and so it's important to go before us and look at the people who've asked these questions before. And I think a positive trend is looking back in history to faithful Christians and finding faithful answers from them.
Yeah, yeah, because when you talk about those individuals here in recent history, talk about people like C.S. Lewis, Spurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got faithful men today. When you think about John MacArthur, you think about D. James Kennedy's gone now, R.C. Sproul, people like that who have certainly defended the faith and given us as in this 21st century, you know, some people that we could look to and say, hey, you know, they fought a good fight. They run the race. They finished their course. And mm-hmm. That's what I hopefully look to do as well. Well, son, thank you for being with us this morning. That wraps us up today. We're just about out of time here, but it's good to have you and Lucy with us this weekend. And, folks, again, that wraps us up today. I've got Luke Willing here, my middle child, and I'm Steve Willing, pastor of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. If you have any questions or comments, if you got any prayer requests, please feel free to contact us at 443-235-3618. You can go to our new website, which is cfbc413.org. We've got a contact button there. You're certainly welcome to ask any questions or prayer requests also. And that also guides you to our Facebook page. It also takes you to our podcast page. It'll take you to our YouTube page. So it's just a lot going on with that. But once again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.